twin searchlights shine upward, forming a W. Letters read TWC. The three inverted triangles of light fade out one at a time. In another logo, a line stretches across the screen. Words slide out from its top and bottom. Myriad pictures. Now letters with blurred edges spell out Unison. Streaking trails of light behind them, the letters coalesce to form a single glowing circle. In another logo, brilliant light fills our view, then shrinks into a snowflake-like pattern. The words Dreambridge Films hover beneath it. An animated film reel forms a W above the words Standard Deviations. Daytime. On a bridge overlooking the city, a slender young woman rides a bicycle. With her hair wrapped in a ponytail, loose tendrils float out behind her in the breeze. She stares off with a pensive expression. She turns her head to glance out over the water beneath the bridge. Bringing her bicycle to a halt, she dismounts, setting the vehicle against the chain link barrier. She walks away from her bike and further down the bridge. She passes a strolling older couple, blurred in our view, and another pedestrian. The blurry form of a runner jogs past her. The slender young woman stops to peer down at the water. She grips the fence, then presses her head against the chain link barrier. She pushes off, then turns out of view into an overlook. A man rushes toward her.
Hey!
Our view plunges beneath the water, then up at a mass of bubbles which become a blur of light. As our view darkens, we crest above the water's surface. We take in a small boat as we bob up and down in the water. Two sets of masculine hands reach into the water, gripping around the slender young woman's shirt and arms. They drag her unconscious body into the small craft. Fade to black. Titles appear. The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. Her. In a hospital room, the young woman sits in her street clothes, staring off. A nurse enters.
Mrs. Ludlow, you ready?
The woman grabs her shoulder.
Yep.
Forcing a smile, she stands. As she leaves, she slings a large duffel bag over her shoulder. In the corridor, she waves.
Hey. Hi.
A pretty short-haired blonde fumbles to hug her.
Is it gonna hurt? No, it's fine.
With a furrowed brow, the slender young woman pats the blonde's back as they embrace.
Is this all your stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You sure? Nice meeting you.
Yeah, have a great day.
Now at an SUV.
I got it. Okay.
The blonde stands back as the slender young woman puts her things in the back seat. The blonde opens the front passenger door for the troubled woman, then climbs behind the steering wheel. She reaches to help the troubled woman with her seatbelt.
Come on, Katie.
What?
I can put a seatbelt on.
Katie puts on her own seatbelt and starts the car.
Sorry.
They both grin. Katie puts the car in gear and they pull out of the parking lot. Katie slams on the brakes.
Stupid. What?
What am I supposed to say?
You can say anything you want. Come on.
She gives Katie an affectionate shove and the blonde pulls out onto the street. Now the two young women walk up to a house where an elegant older woman sits on the steps. She holds a glass of wine.
Ça va, la vilaine?
Ça va?
The slender young woman leans down to kiss the older woman on the cheek. Taking the wine glass, the slender young woman takes a big sip and heads into the house. Katie follows her inside as she sets down her bag. The slender young woman ascends the stairs. She stops as her eyes focus on a photograph hanging on the wall.
Where's Philip?
He's asleep. He's exhausted.
The older woman grabs the photo.
What should I do?
Just put it somewhere.
In an upstairs bedroom, the slender young woman stares at an iron-framed bed. As the elegant older woman enters behind her, the young woman downs the wine. She sets the glass on a small table. She looks at a hanging film poster titled, A Man and a Woman.
I close your wireless account.
Thanks.
What do you want to do about all your stuff in the city?
The slender young woman shakes her head.
You've got some clothes here in the closet, and I have some old stuff for you in the attic if you want.
I'm sure that'll do fine.
A bearded, smiling older man in glasses enters.
It's just like old times.
Hey, Daddy.
The slender young woman embraces her father. He removes his glasses as he watches her cross the room. She stares down at knickknacks on a table.
So what happens now?
I'm guessing you give a speech of some sort?
What do you want to do, Ella?
Something else. I'm open to ideas.
I'm looking for a part-timer on campus.
Elle nods. She examines a postcard.
Was I such a different person when I lived here? It was like 1,000 years ago.
You could take some classes.
Elle nods.
Can we talk about it later?
What about Connor?
She looks down and turns away. A young boy enters and runs over to Elle.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hi.
They hug. Katie enters.
Missed you.
I missed you. What'd you guys do today, huh?
Chasing butterflies.
I catched one.
Really?
Caught.
I caught one.
You did.
Jonah Greenbaum ate a caterpillar at school.
That sounds pretty gross.
Yeah. Will he have a butterfly in his tummy?
I don't know, honey.
Let's give her some time to get settled in, okay, babe?
Bye. Bye, honey.
Bye.
As Katie leaves with the boy, Elle removes her jacket, revealing her arm still in a sling. She sits in a chair.
Do you need anything?
Nope, thank you.
I'm going into town in a bit and want to join. Get out.
Yeah. You yell up at me when you're going?
Elle's father slides his glasses on as he exits. Her mother's gaze lingers on Elle. As the young woman turns away, the older woman leaves. Elle's gaze returns to the door, and then she stares off. Fade to black. Now, a pile of notebooks lies on Elle's bedroom floor. She reaches down for them. Sporting stylish shorter hair, Elle shoves the books into a bag. She rests her arms atop the bag and stares off. She rises and steps away. Downstairs, her father looks up from his newspaper.
You ready?
Yeah.
He folds the newspaper and puts on his glasses as he rises. He picks up a satchel from the back of a chair and shoulders it as he opens the front door for his daughter. Elle puts on sunglasses. Now they wait at an outdoor train platform.
I feel like I'm 7 years old.
Why?
Being here with you.
He gives her a small grin and looks off.
Remember that time you and Mom took Kate and me to see cats for my birthday?
It was a wash for me.
We came in from New Haven.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember the train ride better than anything. We were all so gussied up.
pity me wearing those silly matching dresses, standing on the seats, looking out at everything, pointing at this and that. Everything seemed so limitless.
It was. It still is.
How many more times do you think I'll remember that moment?
What?
Well, it's such a good moment, but I'll probably only remember it a couple more times in my life, if that.
I suppose so.
Elle grabs the platform's railing with a wistful look. Now she walks down a street with her father. A young man wearing glasses jogs past with his bike.
Whoa, hey! Hey, Elle!
She turns to face him.
Hey.
Hey, Stu.
Wow.
They embrace.
Hey, all right.
You remember my father?
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
The men shake hands.
You're Connor's chef.
Yeah, I'm chef. Yeah.
Stu's smile fades and he looks to Elle.
How's the restaurant?
Good, good. We're doing good. Everything's all right. Yeah.
Well, you have to register.
We have to head off.
All right. Yeah, I gotta get this back to the restaurant, but it's good. Yeah, it's
good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Hey, if you ever want to get like coffee or something, you know, shoot me a text or call or something.
Okay.
Good seeing you.
Stu watches them as he wheels his bike away. Now, Elle and her father approach a building.
So Lillian is expecting you.
Mm-hmm.
She and I were colleagues at NYU.
I know, you told me.
You have pencils and notebooks and all that.
Yes, Dad.
I have class and I have patience, so I guess I'll see you at the house later tonight.
Okay.
Elle walks to the revolving door.
Hey, Elle?
Yeah?
Have a good first day.
I will.
Elle enters the Cooper Union building. Inside, she sits on the floor reading a book outside an office. A short-haired woman steps out. A name on a placard reads Lillian Friedman.
How's the weather down there?
Balmy.
Do we have an appointment?
I'm Eleanor Rigby.
That must be tough.
I'm here to talk my way into your identity theory class.
Oh, you're Julian's kid. I need some caffeine. You're welcome to walk with me.
Okay.
Outside, they walk.
So is Julian into the Beatles or something?
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of?
He met my mom on the street during one of the Beatles hoax reunions. There was a rumor they were going to play a show here before Lennon died, just like the one they did on the rooftop in London. My parents stood next to each other, waiting for the band to never show.
Nostalgious.
That and my dad's surname is Rigby.
You must detest the Beatles.
No, not really.
Do you want something?
Elle holds up her coffee cup as Professor Friedman takes her place in line at a truck.
Double espresso, three splendors, please.
Another customer approaches. Elle moves out of his way.
So why do you want to be in my class?
Your course sounds interesting. And look, you're a colleague of my dad, so.
Yeah, well, you gotta do better than that.
You want me to make something up?
Well, most people do. You're just taking classes, just take classes, right?
Something like that.
Well, let me save you some time. All the perpetual students, the hedge fund wives, and your generation of too many choices, they usually go to Tim Gunn's class and listen to him talk about Project Runway, or you could take the art history class on the advent of color photography just for a good cocktail party conversation.
My generation of too many choices?
Democracy has its drawbacks.
Some double espresso, three splendor.
Thank you.
With her mouth open, Elle stares at the professor.
You're teaching classes just to teach classes, right?
Something like that. I'm having a month. I'm sorry. Father didn't give me much warning or tell me much about you. And I'm really not one for nepotism. I just got the call asking if I could squeeze you into a class. I don't really know who you are.
It's okay. Neither do I.
Now, wearing her dark sunglasses, Elle steps down the sidewalk. She clutches the purse strap over her shoulder. She glances across the street, then crosses an intersection. She stops to wait at the other side. A graffitied wall behind her reads, "Love isn't missed by minutes, it's missed by miles." She continues on a crosswalk, but stops halfway. She glances over her shoulder as if searching for someone before continuing on. We follow Elle as she reaches the other side. She turns and descends stairs into a subway station. Avoiding contact with other pedestrians, she disappears into the blur of darkness at the bottom of the stairs. Now she enters her parents' kitchen through the back door. Her mother cooks at the stove and holds a glass of wine.
You want to help me?
You're making kimis?
Mm-hmm. With summer vegetables and some basil. Mm. You remember when you first had them in Luberon?
Mm-mm.
No? You were four, and you were so fat.
Elle nods with raised eyebrows.
My mother and I would cook a big plate of them and left it on the kitchen table, and you would eat one and one and one and the other until the plate was completely empty.
Elle grins slightly.
You went to nursery school that fall, and all these women gave me those weird looks, and they were wondering what I was feeding you with.
Well, that was a butterball.
I felt completely stupid. Like I had no idea what I was doing the way those women looked at me.
Did you?
Did I what?
Did you know what you were doing?
I think I didn't realize I wouldn't be able to retrieve all the opportunities I threw away then.
Elle's mother's gaze grows distant. Elle looks down thoughtfully.
You're not the only one who's done stupid things to herself.
Elle's mother strokes her daughter's hair.
My darling.
Now, Elle eats ice cream in a bubble bath. Katie sits on the toilet beside her.
Charlie called for you.
Oh, what'd she have to say for herself?
Just wanted to see how you were.
She was trying too hard.
She wants you to come to dinner with her and Aldi and a bunch of fabulous people this weekend.
What'd you tell her?
You probably weren't up for it.
Some people won't let you forget them. I should go. Hey, you wanna come with me?
Not particularly.
Katie rubs lather into Elle's hair.
What are you doing?
Shh.
Like it. It's kind of nice.
Yeah?
Come on, we should go. I think it'd be good for us.
Why? What makes you say that?
There are many experts who say it's a good thing to get outside.
Well, some others say it's not.
You were outside all day today.
Come on, you know what I mean.
I just think... Okay, there was an article.
Oh my God, you're reading stupid shit online again.
Yeah. But there was something in Psychology Today that I saw at the library, and you should take a look at it. I'm managing the periodicals. I'll give you a copy.
Listen, come with me to Charlie's. It's an order.
Now they congregate on a waterfront balcony.
Could you stop doing that? It's disgusting.
I thought I'd try and make the place look more pleasant for our guests.
Maybe you could have tried that earlier before they got here.
Hey, what happened to your chair?
Glad you didn't come last night.
Thank you.
No, I mean, people wouldn't leave. We had stragglers into the wee hours.
Some idiot got too drunk or high and mistook the chair for a toilet. He actually lifted the cushion up, hosed it down, and poured like a gallon of nature's miracle on it. Probably wasn't enough.
No, wasn't.
I would burn it. I inherited it from my grandmother. It's French Regency or some Ponzi shit like that. I'd still burn it.
Maybe we should.
Maybe you should.
Katie and Elle share a secret smile.
What have you been up to, Katie?
What do you mean?
I mean, what have you been up to?
Well, Philip is going into the second grade. And he's about to be 8. Cute. I'm also studying to take the LSAT. And I am a part-time librarian out in Westport, so I have that going for me.
No more with the acting?
No, I mean, life just kind of put a damper on it.
Whatever happened to dreams? I think our entire generation is going to grad school, delaying real life as long as possible. Every single one of all these friends is getting an MBA or a JD or a JD MBA. I lost one of my interns last month, and the magazine's lost a whole
bunch. Shut the fuck up, Charlie.
Charlie stares with her mouth agape.
I'm sorry.
Would you forgive us if we said that we had to leave?
Did I say something wrong?
No. We just have to get the train to Connecticut.
I don't want to be embarrassed about what I'm allowed to say or not say around you.
Why would you be?
I don't know. I mean, I'm embarrassed that I'm embarrassed.
Oh, come here.
Elle smiles and gives her a hug.
Love you.
I love you.
Okay, bye.
Katie follows Elle off. Now Elle takes notes in a classroom auditorium.
You know, ultimately being oneself means that the faculty of knowing lies within the subject, in his head, and the subject has such a status by dint of being enclosed within himself, separate and distinct from the world and from others.
A bearded student passes a note to Elle.
Now, doesn't common sense tell us the same thing? Isn't it true that we say, what's got into you, to express surprise at and disapproval of unexpected and bizarre behavior?
Elle looks up from the note with wide eyes.
And again, doesn't common sense tell us that strange behavior is signaled by tapping one's forehead with one's forefinger?
The student points to a scruffy young man in back.
Why
the young man smiles and waves.
Elle
faces front with a fretful expression. She breathes heavily.
Symposium. One of the most authoritative voices in this chorus is Ken Gergens, who asked the question, can we compellingly reinscribe what it is to be a person in a way that moves us away from the individualist premise?
Professor Friedman watches Elle get up and leave.
And toward the relational.
The scruffy man follows her outside.
Hey, Rigby!
What the fuck are you doing?
Come on. Come on, I barely get a chance to respond before you went AWOL.
What did I ask you, Connor?
I just need a second to talk.
What the fuck did I ask
just
you?
Just please give me a goddamn second
I'm giving
to
you
talk.
Plenty of seconds. Please, do me a favor. Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, you know what? Fine.
She jogs across the street. She turns around with alarm.
Connor! Connor!
Connor lies on the pavement in front of a taxi. His temple bleeds.
Connor, shit.
You know this guy?
He's my husband.
At night, the couple sits on a curb.
Well, that was exciting.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Connor wears a bandage on his right temple. They stare ahead with impassive expressions.
So, you're back in school?
I'm taking some classes.
He purses his lips and knits his brow.
I almost didn't recognize you.
What do you mean?
It's just your hair.
She touches her short hair.
It's really pretty.
Elle looks away from him, smoothing it behind her ear.
Where are you living, Elle?
None of your business. Is that what you so desperately needed to talk to me about?
No.
What is it then?
Connor closes his eyes and shakes his head.
I was gonna say something good. something that would have solved all our problems and made everything all better, but you know what? I forgot what it was.
Elle lifts her chin from her palm and parts her lips.
That's too bad.
Isn't it?
Connor stares at his wife, who doesn't meet his gaze.
I'm gonna go.
No. All I want is a chance to just talk it out. And after that, you can disappear. It's wherever it is you disappear to.
You ready, sir?
A man touches Connor's shoulder, and Elle nods.
Yeah, I was born ready.
Nice. Yeah.
Watch this step.
Two paramedics escort Connor away.
I'll see you around.
Bye, Connor.
All right, watch your head coming up.
Got him?
I got him.
Boy.
I take it easy.
Can I keep stalking you?
Elle tilts her head with a somber expression. Lights flash across her face as she looks down. Connor waves at his wife through the ambulance's rear window before it drives away. Professor Friedman approaches Elle.
Hey. Are you okay?
Yeah.
What happened?
My husband. I don't know what to call him anymore.
I have one of those. So, walk with me? Join me for a drink or something?
No, not right now. Thank you.
Elle strides away. Professor Friedman glances after the ambulance, then walks down the sidewalk. Daytime. Philip pushes Elle's eye open as she lies in bed.
Are you awake?
No, Philip.
Your eyes are open.
Apparently.
Why do you have your shoes on in bed?
Lying with her head on a pillow, a smile creeps across Elle's face. She ruffles Philip's hair.
Morning sunshine.
Elle's mother watches from the doorway.
Mom's making French toast.
I'll be right down.
Okay.
Philip trots out of the room, carrying a stuffed animal under one arm. Elle lies still for a moment, then rises to sit on the edge of the bed. Wearing the same dress from the night before, she smooths her hair. She casts her eyes downward, a thoughtful frown on her face. With a resigned look, she rises and catches her reflection in a mirror hanging on the wall. She touches her hair and face, then flips the mirror to face the wall. She shuts the door. Now Elle enters the kitchen where her mother stands by as Katie cooks at the stove.
Charlie called for you again.
Great.
Elle pours coffee.
Came in late last night.
She gives her mother an aloof look.
What's with the feast?
We have a special guest star. Outside.
Elle glances between her mother and Katie, then walks to the back door. On the patio, her father chats with another bearded man. They both notice her.
Good morning.
She shakes her head, then marches through the kitchen and into the dining room.
No fucking way.
Elle
shoves her sister away.
What the hell are you doing? Come on. Just wait a
second.
Touch me, Katie.
No. Don't touch me!
Katie tries to pull her from the front door.
Let go! No!
They fight in the foyer.
Ow! I will bite you! I swear to God, I will bite you!
I will bite you back!
Ow!
Standing nearby, the parents watch the sisters fight. The girls lie on the floor and catch their breath. Later, they sit on the sun porch, watching their father in the next room.
You sandbagged me.
Julian enters.
He chairs the psychology department.
Good for him.
Well, I just thought he'd be a bit more qualified to deal with your circumstance.
What's my circumstance?
Julian stares at his daughter with his lips parted. He looks to Elle's blonde sister. She stands up, patting her father's shoulder as she leaves the room.
He was my grandson. I lost him too.
Elle meets her father's gaze, then looks down. Slowly, Julian moves to the love seat beside his daughter. He sits and shakes his head.
None of us know how to help you.
Well, neither do I. I'm so glad they delegated the speech to you.
He's not a stranger. Some hospital referred you to. He's a colleague of mine. I don't think one session a week would hurt.
Why can't you talk to me once a week, Dad? Why outsource it?
I'm not outsourcing it, and I don't really think you want to talk to me about it.
I don't need to talk to another therapist.
Eleanor.
Please, stop reminding me that something's wrong.
That's not my intention.
Please let me stop thinking about it.
Julian hangs his head. Elle stands up and wipes her eye.
Tragedy is a foreign country. We don't know how to talk to the natives.
What are you talking about?
He gives a slight nod, then looks away. Elle walks out of the room, leaving her father staring out a window. Now, she sits on the floor of the school hallway. With a textbook in her lap, she scribbles in her notebook and chews on a pen cap. Professor Friedman sits down beside her.
You know, there's this really cool thing called chairs.
Yeah, I heard about those.
It's actually not too shabby down here.
She turns to Elle with a smile.
You okay?
Sure.
Liar.
Sure.
When's your next class?
It's yours.
The professor's shoulders slump wearily.
Oh. You like hamburgers.
Now they eat in a restaurant.
I used to be a vegan. Mostly because my husband was a vegan. Not that I don't agree with most of the tenets of vegan ideology, but he's one of those reformed socialists who seemed sexy before the 60s started to fade.
Does he teach?
He won tenure at University of Oregon. I got it here. He went soft, I stayed hard. That was that.
Elle smiles over her french fries.
You have kids?
A son. I'm not sure why people have kids. And first, there's the 9 months of agony. Your body hurts, it's hot, it's cold, you crave pickles, and there's no words to describe whatever fuck labor is. And then this little stranger comes out sucking every bit of life you have left in you, and as soon as you're ready to jump out of a window, all of a sudden he smiles.
Elle looks down with a tight grin.
Jesus Christ, good. And whatever you do, however you do it, however you imagine your child's life, or what kind of parent you'd be, 29 years later, he's in some shrink's office accusing you of some stupid thing that you said or did that for the life of you, you can't remember saying or doing.
Elle chews with a thoughtful stare.
Tell me at your age you're not taking classes out of boredom.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
What was before this?
Life in general.
Any kids? Boy or girl?
Boy.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Who's that man who chased you out of my classroom the other day?
Elle looks down for a moment, then drops her fry.
He went soft. I stayed hard. That was that.
At her parents' house, Elle closes her bedroom door. She grabs a pillow and settles into it, lying perpendicular across the bed. Katie enters. She crouches at the foot of the bed and peeks through its frame.
Hey. Guess what? What? I got asked out on a date.
Elle reaches out her palm and they high five. In another bedroom, Katie stands before a mirror.
I look stupid.
You look beautiful.
Oh, don't be nice. Son of a fuck, I don't understand why this asshole walked into my library.
Katie.
Don't Katie me. Oh my god, Mom and Dad aren't even back yet and I should just pull the plug.
No, he'll be here any second. Calm down. I'll watch him.
Katie struggles to put on a pair of shapewear panties.
We're just gonna pretend to be interested in each other over cheap Cabernet. And he's gonna, like, ask me all the same stupid questions that they ask about Philip, who the dad is. And look at me like I'm half a moron for the choices that I've made. You know, it was easier when I was an actress because I could just fuck my co-stars. But this real-life pseudo-adult crap sucks my ass.
Katie, shut up.
Katie stands with her dress bunched around her waist.
I feel fat.
You're not fat.
Elle pulls the dress down over Katie's hips, then zips her up.
You were always who you were gonna be, and like a woman. I always wasn't yet.
Elle hugs her sister from behind.
Then I was a fraud.
Sometimes I hardly recognize you with that hair.
Elle nuzzles Katie's neck. She steps to Katie's closet and rifles through clothes. She notices a framed photo tucked away on an upper shelf. She stares, then looks away. Elle grabs a dress and holds the floral print up to Katie. She rests her head on the blonde's shoulder as they study the reflection.
That's gorgeous.
God damn it!
Excuse me? Hey, come in here.
Philip enters the room with a toy.
What was that?
This keeps breaking off.
Okay, but we don't say that, lovey.
Why?
Because it's not a nice thing to say.
To Elle.
Are you sure that you're okay to watch him? Mom and Dad should be back pretty soon. He's here. Are you? You sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
Which, change.
Yeah.
Elle unzips Katie's dress. At night, Elle smiles as Philip drinks milk and it dribbles down his chin.
So what do you want to do?
She wipes his face.
What do you want to do?
Outside, they walk through a dark yard.
Hurry!
I'm coming!
Can I get electrocuted by lightning bugs?
No. They're harmless.
Elle kisses the boy's head and ruffles his hair. Holding a jar, he walks off. Elle takes a seat on the grass. Fireflies blink around her as she stares off. Her expression becomes somber. Our view drifts to a light atop a lamppost, then to other lampposts in the distance. Our attention travels down to the grass, where Elle straddles Connor cheek to cheek. They both look off.
This is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
She tenderly kisses his cheek.
Hey. There's only one heart in this body. Have mercy on me.
Shut up.
As she gazes into his eyes, the slender woman lays her palms flat against the grass. Leaning in, she kisses him. Fireflies light up around them as he wraps his arms around her back, and they continue to kiss. He rolls on top of her.
Can I get your face?
Yes, please.
I'll tell you what. You make the first move. And then I'll follow you. This is too nice.
He rolls onto his back. They lie side by side, staring up with her head on his arm.
Hey, can we drive somewhere aimlessly?
Yeah. Right now?
Whenever.
Can we do it this weekend?
Yes.
Where you want to go?
No destination. Just rent a car. You can sing along to whatever stupid songs are on the radio. We'll just drive pointlessly until we feel like stopping.
What do we do then?
I don't know, eat something, walk somewhere. Use your imagination.
A grin crosses his face and he reaches for her.
Your other imagination.
He nuzzles her ear.
You have a pretty dirty imagination.
Stop. Come on.
She kisses him, then gets up.
Hey, Rigby.
He reaches out his hand to her. She takes it.
I love you.
She helps him to his feet and they kiss. Holding hands, they stroll into the distance. Fireflies and the glow of lampposts intermingle. In a bedroom at her parents' house, Elle lies next to the sleeping boy. A firefly flickers in a jar on a nightstand. Elle stirs. She covers her mouth as she yawns. Katie creeps to the bed and carefully takes a seat near Elle's feet. As the blonde grins, she puts a hand under her own chin. Elle looks up at her.
It went that badly. I could have given him a normal kiss goodnight instead of jamming my tongue down his throat.
Katie puts a finger to her lip, then shrugs. She clasps a hand over her mouth, and Elle touches her arm.
So he's cool. I'm so fucked.
Katie slumps to the floor.
You have a little to drink tonight? Yeah.
Elle turns onto her side to face Katie. The blonde notices the jar containing the firefly.
That? Philip gave it to me so I won't be afraid of the dark.
Elle sits up.
You're still having trouble with that? Yeah, guess so. Come on.
She helps Katie off of the floor, then leads her out of the room.
Were you okay with him?
Elle closes the door.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mean... That's not why I was... I just... I'm okay. Is it okay to be okay? Yeah. Be okay all you want.
In the connecting bedroom, Elle leans against the closed door. Katie takes a seat on the bed and looks at her.
Are you really okay? I can pretend.
Elle grins, then looks down as her smile fades. On the bed, Katie hugs a pillow to her chest and moves over to make room for Elle. The slender woman sets a pillow at the foot of the bed and sits leaning against the frame opposite Katie.
All of a sudden, I kind of miss him.
She stares distantly.
Who? Connor.
With a downward gaze, Katie leans closer to Elle.
He came by the house the other day. He talked with Mom.
And she told me not to tell you.
Katie settles back against the headboard.
I'm sorry, Katie.
What for?
I feel like I just dropped in on you guys and I sucked all the air out of the room.
You were kind of a selfish bitch.
Hey, you don't have to be so honest.
Elle lies next to Katie.
I was really mad at you.
I know.
I'm still really mad at you.
I know.
Hugging Katie's arm, Elle rests her head against the blonde shoulder.
And you pulled the floorboards out from under Connor.
He threw Cody's stuff into the closet. And then 10 minutes later, he ordered Chinese from Madame Wu's. I tried for 6 months. We were a million miles away in the same room, and I started to think thoughts I never thought I'd have.
Daytime. On an outdoor train platform, Elle sits cross-legged on a bench next to her father, who writes. Wearing sunglasses, she looks up from her book and turns to the older man.
How have you and Mom made it this far?
I'm not sure. Endurance? Everyone starts out thinking this is forever. But then things get hard. At some point or another. And then other things don't pan out the way you thought they would.
Elle looks down. Julian gazes off.
I suppose the trick is not running for the hills even when you think it's the most rational thing to do.
The slender woman looks at her father, then turns back to her book. The older man shakes his head.
I don't know.
Now Elle walks on a sidewalk. She cranes her neck to see something across the street. She takes cover behind a vehicle as she watches Stu and Connor help a third man unload beer kegs from the back of a van. Connor puts down his keg to greet a passing woman in a sun hat. He takes a seat as Stu struggles to maneuver his heavy load through the restaurant's front door. For a moment, Connor lifts his face to the sun, then picks up the keg and carries it. Elle ducks down and darts away. In the empty lecture hall, Elle sets her bag down and takes a seat.
I hate this room.
I've seen worse.
Professor Friedman slumps down in the seat next to Elle.
Where?
Huh?
Where have you seen worse?
NYU, Yale.
Oh, Yale's butt ugly.
New Haven's butt ugly.
Elle writes in a book.
Did you attend any of those fine institutions?
NYU. And then I grew up at Yale when my dad was there.
Oh, of course. You're a faculty brat.
Mm-hmm.
You and my son would get along like hotcakes. Not that I'm trying to set you up or anything. He lives in Washington, the state. He's been pretending to write a novel there for the last 4 years.
Other students enter the lecture hall.
Learn anything interesting at NYU?
I abandoned a dissertation.
Bold. What department?
Anthropology.
Social linguistic?
I was writing an ethnography on the social world of performance artists in Paris. Musicians, dancers, actors, etc.
Why?
I don't know. My mom is a musician and she's French, so...
No. I mean, why did you abandon it? Don't tell me something stupid like love.
Elle grins and shakes her head softly.
You're very talkative.
It's more fun listening to you.
You'll get over that.
I got pregnant.
The professor meets Elle's gaze.
Not that.
Elle nods. Professor Friedman glances at her watch.
You want to teach this class?
Not really.
Me neither.
I'm going to do this.
She rises to her feet and steps away from Elle. The slender woman's smile fades and she shifts in her seat. Now, Elle lies in bed at her parents' house, gazing at the firefly in the jar. She grabs it from the bedside table and stares into the glass. Outside, Elle steps into the driveway toward a car. The headlights and taillights flash twice. Elle climbs into the front seat. She backs out of the driveway. In another car, Elle lies shirtless on top of Connor. With her long hair tied back in a braid, she rests her head on his shoulder.
This song is horrible.
It's not good.
I think that bad music turns you on.
She sits up.
Seriously? Whoa, car. Do the thing.
The seat falls back and Elle huddles on top of him.
I don't want to see your tuk-tuks.
Holding a bra, Elle looks up.
We're good.
Help me.
What? You know what you're doing?
Elle slips into her bra.
Stupid.
Here you go. Should I do it?
Yeah.
Okay. This is kind of counterintuitive.
He reaches around her.
I think I'm instinctually wired not to be able to do this.
Connor fidgets with the clasp.
There we go. 3, 2, 1. Just like that.
You look good.
I'm very impressed.
Elle adjusts her bra.
We have to listen to this.
She shoots Connor a look, then turns to the side. Elle pops a licorice stick into her mouth, and he bites the end hanging from her lips.
Hey!
You want it? You want it?
Top 40?
No.
Country?
No.
Elle steals back the licorice and eats it.
Stupidest
thing I've ever
heard.
Oh my
god. No, that's...
No. Can I have some?
My god.
Baby?
Mm-hmm.
As comfortable as this is?
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing circulation in my legs.
What are you trying to say?
That you're fat. And I love every pound of you.
Whoa!
Come here.
As they kiss, Elle transfers a piece of licorice, then climbs off of him.
Sure, my shirt went.
Tie the back seat.
Connor reclines his seat and adjusts his pants. He turns to the back of the car.
Where are you going?
Out here.
Connor furrows his brow. He puts on his shirt as Elle stands in front of the car and wiggles her finger.
You coming?
She climbs onto the hood.
Yeah.
Wearing only her bra and a skirt, Elle lounges on the front windshield. Connor gets out of the car and joins her. They share a deep kiss.
Where are we?
Someplace good.
Elle beams, and Connor leans close to her face. He lingers with his parted lips close to Elle's, then kisses her. Connor pulls back and away as Elle watches with a grin. Connor avoids Elle's playful kicks, then pulls her off of the car. He spins her. The couple dances in the car's headlights. Connor grinds up against Elle, then grabs her hand and twirls. They spin simultaneously under their bridged arms. Then Connor pulls Elle close to swing her around. Connor flings Elle over his shoulder and jogs into the night. Fade to black. At dawn, Elle stirs awake behind the steering wheel of a car. She reaches into the front seat for the jar containing the firefly, then climbs out of the car. Dressed in a sports bra and a loose tank top, she walks through the dimly lit field. Elle opens the jar and gently shakes it.
Come on, wake up.
She turns the jar over in her hands. Elle looks in and taps the bottom of the glass.
Wake up.
Elle watches as the firefly blinks and flies away. Lowering the jar, Elle stares after the insect. She closes her eyes briefly and brushes her short hair away from her face. Elle parks in the driveway.
Mais qu'est-ce que t'as foutu?
What?
You scared the crap out of me.
How did I do that?
When I went into your room to check about you and you were gone and the car was gone.
Yeah, I went for a drive.
Well, don't ever do it again.
Why were you checking on me?
I've always checked on you.
Her mother sits on the steps by the back door and takes a drag from her cigarette. She holds a glass of wine.
I'm sorry.
You want a sip?
No. Wrong side of the day for me. You feeling a bit dramatic today?
No. Why?
Elle gives a slight nod and pats her mother's shoulder as she enters the house. Her mother follows her inside, then sits at a table in the sunroom.
I played second violin on this.
Boston Symphony, Zach Perlman. I haven't forgotten.
No, I was just reminding myself.
Elle's mother shrugs.
You that unhappy?
I don't believe in unhappy. I'm just having a quiet crisis like you're having yours. Katie is having hers, your father having his.
That's having a crisis?
Yes, one in a series.
Why?
No, I don't want to talk about this now. Let's keep that between him and me.
Elle gives a gentle nod. The elegant older woman takes a sip of wine. On the table in front of her sit toy trees and dinosaurs. Elle's mother plays with two of the dinosaurs. Elle takes a seat across from her.
What?
Elle pulls one of the dinosaurs from her mother's hand. She cocks her head at the older woman.
I never wanted to be a mother.
Not much you can do about that now.
Yeah, it's too late. I was too young when I had you. I was the baby.
Why are you telling me this?
I'm telling you this because I don't want to lie to you. I don't want you to take our relationship too personally.
I don't.
Elle furrows her brow. As her mother reaches for her wine glass, Elle takes it from her.
No.
Give me my wine. Give me my wine.
Why didn't you tell me Connor came by the house the other day?
Run for your life, Elle.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, this is all too realistic. Run away for a while.
You sure you're not projecting?
Yes, I'm sure I'm not projecting. You liked your semester in Paris, so why don't you go back there and finish your dissertation? You could write in cafes, read Le Monde, Elisa Roque, eat bread, make eyes at strangers.
Elle smiles, nodding faintly.
Yeah, I could.
She looks down.
So why are you still here?
Now, Elle wears sunglasses as she makes her way down a sidewalk. She glances up, then slows her pace. She enters a restaurant where two women chat over the bar.
No, but then he takes it out, and he goes out of there. We're not open quite yet.
Hey, Alexis.
Holy shit.
Elle gives the bartender a polite smile.
Is he around?
He's in the kitchen having a talk with Stuart.
Okay. Elle takes a seat.
How you been?
Good. Have you been?
Good. Good.
How's the painting coming?
Great. Just finishing up some stuff that I do at home.
Connor and Stu enter.
Sorry, everybody. Holy Shatner.
Good to see you too, Stuart.
Connor claps his friend on the shoulders.
Well, this has been nice reconnecting and seems like old times. I'm gonna go back to the kitchen.
Cool, I'll join you.
Stu and the waitress leave.
Sorry.
Alexis wedges past Connor behind the bar, then leaves the estranged couple alone. With a small sigh, Connor turns to Elle. She purses her lips and shrugs. He gives her an uncomfortable grin, then takes a few steps closer. He picks up a glass and turns to her with his brow raised.
Shirley Temple?
Please?
He pops open a can.
What do I owe you?
Your money's no good here. You know that.
This business is good.
Yeah, it's great. We're closing.
Her smile falls.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I am too.
So, what's next?
Well, I was thinking of developing some interests that people might actually take an interest in.
You gonna work for your dad?
I don't know. You know, before I met you, I had no clue who I was. And then when I was with you, I thought I had it all figured out, but now, I'm just back to wondering again.
He swallows hard. She averts her gaze to her drink.
Well, when you figure it out, tell me how.
Okay.
She sets down her glass and looks up at him.
Let's get out of here.
Huh?
Let's go.
What? Right now?
Come on. Don't believe in wasting time.
Okay.
Stepping out from behind the bar, he glances toward the kitchen. Connor runs his hand through his hair and follows her outside.
Hey, so where are we going exactly?
To rent a car.
He follows her down the sidewalk. At night in the rain, Elle sits in a car, watching Connor through the windshield as he tries to fix a wiper. He slams it to the glass. Drenched, he climbs back inside.
Ah! Fuck her! We got the car with retarded wipers.
Well, there's no rush.
What are we doing here, Elle?
You tell me. You stalked me. You said we needed to talk, and you showed up at my parents' house.
An hour ago, you waltzed into my bar and suggested we drive aimlessly. Into the perfect fucking storm here. So?
She grins.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
You know, there was a brief moment I thought we actually pieced together a pretty decent life.
They glance at each other. As he looks away, she nods.
I have to move everything out of the apartment next week. Do you want me to keep anything for you?
Where are you moving to?
I can move in with my dad for a while, until I get things figured out.
He looks away and shakes his head. She reaches up and strokes his wet hair. She gives him a smile. She rests her hand on his shoulder, then climbs over and straddles his lap.
You're sopping wet.
You noticed that?
He grins. Out of view, she moves her hands. He glances down, then back into her eyes. He leans forward. She moves in, and they kiss passionately. A flash of headlights briefly passes over them. Their kissing becomes more intense, and they rock back and forth. She reaches down.
Wait. Please, wait.
Another flash of headlights passes over them.
You slept with someone else.
You told me to. Told me to.
He leans closer to her, trying to meet her gaze.
You left. Hell, you left.
She rises off of his lap.
Hey, no, don't.
She returns to her seat.
Elle?
It doesn't matter.
You suck at lying, Elle. You're supposed to say, how the fuck did you do this to me, Connor? Come on, you're supposed to say that's bullshit. You're supposed to say you're a selfish, hopeless, disgusting person. Connor.
We're past that.
No, we're not.
And you just said it for me. Let's go back to the city.
She puts on her seatbelt. He rubs water from his wet hair and does the same. In the city, their headlights approach us and their rental car comes to a stop. They stare off, their windshield wipers battling the rain.
This is fine. I'll get out here.
Elle marches along the sidewalk to a subway entrance, her arms straight at her sides. Reaching the bottom of the stairs, she stops and leans against a wall, standing motionless. She continues into the subway. In a library, Elle walks through the book stacks. She finds her sister flipping through a magazine with her back turned. Elle sneaks up behind her.
Ma'am?
Yes.
What a dick.
Elle steps away, playing with her sunglasses.
You look like ass.
Thank you. Where were you last night?
Elle shrugs with her eyes cast down. Katie knits her brow.
Do you want to take a load off?
Elle nods sincerely, and Katie leads her into a hallway where they sit on a couch.
I come here on breaks. One of the librarians advocates a whole nap philosophy.
Nap philosophy?
Yeah. Well, naps throughout the day, like, help with productivity and stuff.
If you want to read this.
Katie sets a magazine beside her, then stands. Elle grabs her arm.
What?
The redhead stares at the floor thoughtfully.
I was hoping you could read my mind. Wouldn't that be nice?
Katie cocks her head. Elle takes her arm and pulls her close, leaning her head on the blonde woman's shoulder.
You want to do something stupid this weekend?
Yeah. I'm the queen of doing something stupid.
What are you thinking?
Get bent, take a train to the city, save the world.
When did you become an idealist?
A couple seconds ago.
I have a date with the dentist this weekend.
It's okay, you can be your third wheel.
Katie nods, grinning.
Okay. I should get back to work.
Elle lets go of Katie's arm, then lies down.
I'll come wake you up in a little bit.
At night, the sisters hold hands as they move down a sidewalk.
But I don't know why I was doing
that. Katie glances back at her date.
Hey!
Now they enter a dance club.
You like drinks?
Yeah, I'll have a drink.
Should we get like
three shots?
Tequila.
Round of tequila.
Katie leans in close to her date. She gives a head gesture to Elle, indicating the dance floor. Now, Katie leads Elle through the dancing crowd, bobbing her shoulders to the music. They make their way to the dance floor, and Elle crosses in front of her sister. As they start dancing, Elle glances with a grin at the people surrounding them.
I feel old! What? I feel old! Me too!
Katie's date returns with the shots. Elle downs hers immediately.
Cheers!
Elle dances with a self-conscious look on her face. Katie playfully tries to get her sister to dance the robot. Elle grins and they begin to dance playfully. Now, Elle and Katie dance with abandon. The redhead waves her arms over her head, then pulls her sister into a hug as they bounce to the music. Elle pushes away and does a twirl while Katie leans back, pumping her shoulders. A dark-haired man approaches Elle from behind and starts dancing with her. She gives Katie a wide-eyed, open-mouthed grin.
Hey, what's your name?
I'm good, thanks!
Katie leans in to whisper something into Elle's ear.
Wait.
The redhead grabs the man by the shirt collar, not looking at him as she continues to dance. She downs the rest of her drink. Katie waves a hand at her, looking impressed. Elle turns around and pulls the stranger into a deep, passionate kiss. Katie stops dancing, her face falling as she watches. Now, locked in an embrace, Elle and the dark-haired man stumble through his open apartment door. He starts lifting her shirt as they make their way inside. At the sofa, they both pull their shirts off. She turns around as he undoes her pants from behind, kissing her neck and back. Her expression grows uneasy.
Wait. No! Where? Wait, wait, wait!
What? What is it?
Yeah.
Did I hurt you?
What is it? You're a stranger.
have that moment when you know you're doing something stupid, but you do it anyway.
Every day.
He approaches, but she shakes her head.
Come on.
Stay there. I'm gonna go.
She starts to put on her shirt, and he advances again.
Don't.
Oh, Jesus. Just stay for a minute.
She moves to the door.
Really?
She pushes him away as she pulls her shirt on, then steps out.
Sorry.
Now, Elle walks on a wet sidewalk. Soaked with rain, a haunted expression blankets her face. She turns to look down the street. Spotting a taxi, she waves. Its headlights glisten off the wet street as it pulls up to the curb. She gets in.
Where to?
Just make a loop around the city.
Got a destination?
Eventually.
The slender young woman stares out the window as the cab pulls away. Fade to black. Now Elle sits on the floor outside Professor Friedman's office. A man exits, with the professor scowling behind him. She notices Elle.
All the lonely people, where do they all come from?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Beatles song you were named after.
Elle holds up coffee.
Three Splendors.
Wow, full service. Want me to come down there? You want to join me in here?
With a smile, Elle gestures toward the office. Rising from the floor, she slings her bag over her shoulder. As they enter the office, Elle's expression turns serious.
I think I'm gonna leave your class.
As Professor Friedman eyes her, Elle returns a timid glance. They take seats across from each other at a desk.
You're breaking up with me.
Leaning back in her seat, Elle cocks her head, wearing a weak smile. The professor pulls her chair in.
So this is what heartbreak feels like.
You never had your heart broken?
Only read about it in books.
Liar.
Sure.
Professor Friedman picks up food from a paper wrapper on her desk.
You know, you don't have to tell me this. You could have just not shown up.
Elle looks down. The slender young woman leans forward in her chair.
I just gotta get out of here.
Here?
The tri-state area.
You know, they say that if you walk away from things and you just keep walking away, start a whole history of walkaways. That sound as lame as I thought it did.
No.
Good, because I don't have a fucking clue as how life should be lived.
Well, could you refer me to someone who does, please?
Yeah. I had a dog, Miles. Got him from a pound. He did it pretty well. He lived every day like he won the lottery.
Where's Miles when we need him?
Somewhere in Pennsylvania. Took him on a road trip, trying to be all travels with Charlie. As soon as we hit the open countryside, he starts jumping up and down like he picked up a scent or found something he'd always been looking for. Let him out. He hightails it, chasing the sun into nowhere.
He ran away?
Mm-hmm. I imagine he's happy wherever he wound up. Hooked up with some Amish people. Lives on a dairy farm.
It's possible.
Elle smiles. Professor Friedman stares contemplatively at the young woman.
I have a colleague at NYU. From my days of working with your dad there. Teaches anthropology at the American University in Paris. Does some work at the Musée d'Orsay, Branly. I make a phone call. Send him that dissertation you started on.
Elle nods with a non-committal grin.
Want half a bagel?
No, I'm good.
You getting enough to eat?
You're starting to sound maternal.
Oh, that would be a first.
When's the last time you got to talk to your son?
Some holiday too long ago. Is it sad that I don't remember?
Probably.
I should call, shouldn't I? Now you sound maternal.
Later, Elle lies in bed staring off. She picks up the phone and dials. She presses the receiver to her ear. She slides to the edge of the bed. She sweeps a stray lock of hair behind her ear.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Elle pulls the phone from her ear, her expression forlorn. She sets down the receiver. Now she descends the staircase with her coat draped over her arm. Elle notices something in the living room.
With your kiss, my love.
Taking a seat on the steps, she watches as her parents hold each other close, swaying to the music.
Like a leaf clings to a tree.
With her head resting against the banister, tears glisten in the slender young woman's eyes.
Please cling to me.
Elle rises. In the city at night, she ascends a staircase of a subway entrance onto a bustling sidewalk.
We are creatures of the wind.
Elle walks along a street.
Wild is the wind.
Street lamps glow faintly in the blurred distance ahead of her. Looking up, she slows.
I hear the sound of mandolins and you kiss me.
She climbs a stoop, then slips a key into a building's front door.
With your kiss, my life begins.
Inside the stairwell, Elle walks up toward an apartment. On the floor outside his door, she notices a box filled with mail. Crouching down, she sifts through the letters.
Love me, love me, say you do.
With the mail held in one arm, Elle pulls her keys from her pocket.
Let me fly away with you.
She slips in through the door. In the dark apartment, Elle emerges from the foyer carrying the box of mail in her arms. She hangs her keys on a hook by a light switch she does not turn on. Setting the mail on a table, Elle steps further into the apartment. In the living room, Connor lies asleep on the couch with his back to her. With soft, sad eyes, Elle gazes down at him. Her gaze flits to the window on the opposite wall. Now she imagines the apartment during the day. Through her perspective, we scan across the cheery room. Elle moves further into the darkened room. Through her perspective, we view the bright apartment. At night, Elle wears a strained expression as she moves toward the bedroom. Through her daytime perspective, we view a blurry image of Elle and Connor lying on the bed with their newborn. In the darkened apartment, Elle stops in her tracks. She stares impassively, her eyes angled downward. Now, Elle lifts a folded blanket at Connor's feet and drapes it over him. Her expression obscured by the darkness, Elle stares down at her husband as she steps back. She sits on her knees next to the couch, her gaze unwavering. turning her attention away from her sleeping husband, Elle picks up a stuffed animal from the floor. Holding it in her lap, she examines the little creature with an impassive expression. Connor stirs, rubbing at his eyes. He notices Elle, and she sets the stuffed animal down. Connor runs his fingers through his hair, then folds his hands over his chest as he locks eyes with Elle. She drops her gaze. Connor removes the blanket as he sits up. Connor hangs his feet off the couch as his wife stares up at him. He balls up the blanket.
Do I seem like a different person to you?
Connor studies her.
You look the same to me.
Elle looks down.
I'm sorry.
For what?
For disappearing.
She looks up and Connor nods. Slipping off the couch, he joins his wife on the floor. Elle looks away from his steady gaze.
We'll never get to where we were.
Where was that?
A smile creeps up her lips, and Elle looks at Connor with teary eyes.
Someplace good.
His grin fading, Connor nods. Elle stares distantly.
Tell me what you're thinking.
She wipes tears from her eye, rubs her nose, then licks her lips.
I forgot what he looked like.
Elle faces Connor, and he blinks rapidly.
Sometimes I'll get a glimpse of his eyes or...
She wipes a falling tear from her cheek.
The way he'd smile at me from his crib. But then he'll vanish. I can't picture his face. I can't picture his face anymore.
Elle shakes her head, and Connor does the same. He leans closer. He looks her in the eye.
He's pale.
Elle holds his gaze.
He frowned a lot. He had your eyes, he had your nose, he had your lips, he had your cheeks, Elle. He was all you. He was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
With tears pouring from her eyes, Elle places her hands on her husband's cheeks and kisses him deeply.
I wasn't prepared for what this feels like.
Neither was I.
Elle presses her lips to Connor's forehead. She kisses his brow, and he touches her neck. They gaze into each other's eyes, then continue to kiss. Connor pulls off his shirt. Elle leans into him as they kiss. She wraps her arms around his bare shoulders. Connor rises to his knees, pulling Elle with him. Now Connor lies behind Elle, caressing her arm.
I love you.
She briefly opens her eyes.
I know.
Later, Elle crouches over Connor, who sprawls on the floor under a blanket. Fully dressed, Elle slowly walks past the sleeping man to grab her jacket off the floor. As she picks up her shoes, the slender woman glances at Connor's still form. She walks away, disappearing around a corner into the foyer. Julian enters Elle's room.
How's it coming?
It's coming.
He writes in a small notebook.
There's a great cafe called Le Café at the Rue Tiquetonne. Then a lot of artsy-fartsies go to. Your mother and I used to go there when we visited her parents. I met Jean-Marie Leclésio there once, before he won his Nobel.
Cool.
And you should get some of those big French macaroons at La Durée.
He writes.
In Saint-Germain. Call me when you do. And I will live vicariously through you.
I will. Thanks.
She folds the notebook paper and slips it into her bag. Julian turns away.
I lost you in the ocean once.
What?
He sits in a corner chair.
I lost you in the ocean once. We'd rented a house at Ditch Plains Beach on Montauk. When you could afford Montauk. You were about two. Your mother was pregnant with Katie. And I took you down, swimming, one afternoon. And not a lot of people down there. I waded out, holding you. Thinking at one point this might not be the best idea. But you were game. Or I imagined that you were game because you never ever seemed scared of anything. The Atlantic is moody and a big set of waves snuck in. We made it under the first one. You were clinging to my neck. But we got caught in front of the second. And I came up without you. And I never felt anything like that. The throes of that stupid couple seconds, treading the white water. And then, miraculously, I felt you at my feet. I never told your mother. Never told anyone. It was the worst and best moment of my life.
The bearded man sits with his arms crossed. He glances up at Elle on her bed, and she meets his gaze. He turns his head to the window, then rises.
Okay.
He points to her bag.
Is this ready?
Yeah. I'll be downstairs in a bit.
Okay.
He carries her bag from the room. Elle's gaze falls to the floor, her expression thoughtful and solemn. She takes a folded scarf in her hand and shoves it into her duffel bag. She presses on a small travel kit, then stops, staring down. Now, Elle walks through the dark hallway, upstairs, and into another bedroom. She opens a sliding closet door. From the shelf inside, she takes a framed photograph tucked behind a pillow and walks with it down the stairs. She stops at the bare patch of wall. Elle hangs the photo of her with Connor and their baby. She stares at the photo with her lips parted, then continues down the stairs. Outside, Elle walks down the driveway. Her mother leans against a parked car, a glass of wine in her hand.
What do you got?
Chardonnay?
Elle takes the glass and sips.
It's good, huh?
Mm-hmm. With a smile, Elle's mother hugs her daughter.
You know that I'm full of shit, right?
Depends on the day.
But you know that I love you, hmm?
Elle smiles. Her mother kisses her on both cheeks.
Say goodbye to Elliot, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Goodbye, chickadee. You make sure that they behave, okay?
Okay.
Okay, kiss.
She lowers her nephew.
What time is it in France?
It is past your bedtime.
Why?
Elle stops beside the car and faces her father.
Don't be a stranger.
They hug.
I won't.
She climbs into the car.
I don't want to go to bed. It's still light out.
You don't have to go to bed, sweetie. Be good, okay? I'll be back.
When is Anne coming back?
She'll be back next summer.
Katie drives away with Elle in the passenger seat. Their parents and Philip watch them go. At the end of the driveway, Katie stops, looks both ways, and turns down the street. Fade to black. Now, Elle strolls down a sidewalk at night. She passes a rack of parked bicycles. She wears an impassive expression. She trails behind a man in a dress shirt and slacks. He carries a jacket in his hand as he approaches a street corner. Her eyes fix on his back, then fall to the pavement. He crosses the street. He continues onto a lamp-lit path running through a wooded park. He disappears around the curve of the path. The evidence is something new. After it all. Her hands in her coat pockets, Elle continues down the same dimly lit path. She walks alongside an iron fence as a couple passes behind her. Her face falls into deep shadow, then lamplight illuminates her again. She stops and stares ahead.
Hey.
Our view floats around her and stops at her back. The well-dressed man turns. It's Connor. He stares at his wife with a hand in his pocket. Fade to black. Credits appear. Written and directed by Ned Benson. Produced by Cassandra Koulikoundis, Ned Benson. Produced by Jessica Chastain, Todd J. Laborowski, Emmanuel Michael. Executive producers Kirk D'Amico, Peter Pastorelli. Executive producers Brad Coolidge, Melissa Coolidge. Executive producers Kim Waltrip, Jim Casey, Erica Murray. Executive producers Wix Walker, Jason Durant Walker, Abby Wittridge. Edited by Christina Bowden. Director of Photography, Christopher Blauvelt. Production designer, Kelly McGeehee. Costume designer, Stacy Batat. Music by Sun Lux. Co-executive producer, Estelle Lasher. Jessica Chastain. James McAvoy. Nina Arianda. Viola Davis. Bill Hader. Isabelle Huppert. William Hurt. Jess Weixler. Nikki M. James, Jeremy Shamos, Catherine Waterston. Casting by Monica Mickelson. The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. Her. The Weinstein Company presents a Unison Films, Dreambridge Films, Standard Deviations production. In association with Myriad Pictures, Kim and Jim Productions, Division Films. Credits roll. Unit Production Manager, Jason Sokoloff. First Assistant Director, Shahrazad Sherry Devani. Second Assistant Director, Scott Friedman. Additional Editor, Abby Jukowitz. Post-Production Supervisor, Jennifer Lane. Cast, Jessica Chastain as Eleanor Rigby. June Miller as Elderly Woman. Lawrence Chiopa as Elderly Man. Darren P. Stewart as Guy Walking on Bridge. Julie Serda as Nurse. Jess Weixler as Katie Rigby. Jeremy Shamos as Evangelist. Isabelle Huppert as Mary Rigby. William Hurt as Julian Rigby. Wyatt Ralph as Philip. Bill Hader as Stuart. Viola Davis as Professor Friedman. Sasha Eden as Coffee Truck Barista. Catherine Waterston as Charlie. Matt Scanlon as Aldi. James McAvoy as Connor Ludlow. Musto Palinkovici as Ukrainian Cabbie. Raphael Feldman, Michael Kind as Paramedics. Nina Arianda as Alexis. Nikki M. James as Sia. Will Beinbrink as Gary the Dentist. Ryan Eggold as Guy from Club. Brendan Donaldson as Casimir Waiter. Susanna Guzman as Hospital Receptionist. Jimmy Palumbo as Rental Car Attendant. Marta Milans as Phoebe. Song credits. Emily, Concerto for Violin and Orchestra No. 5 in A Major, KV-219, Adagio. Concerto for Piano and Orchestra No. 23 in A Major, KV-488, Adagio. Sonata for Violin and Piano No. 35 in A Major, KV-526, Presto. Sailing, The Lucky One, Dance Across the Sky, Whiskey in My Blood, So in Love. Concerto for Violin and Orchestra No. 3 in G Major, KV-216, Adagio. Went to War, Can't Hear It, Jungle Remix. Move On, Wild is the Wind. After It All, Don't Wake the Dead. Waity Wait, Walk Home, Physics. Valentine's Day, The Process. Hot to Talk to Girls, Nam, A Great Design. Not Supposed to. Concerto for Violin and Orchestra No. 4 in D Major, KV-218. Andante Cantabile. Me Without You, No Resisto Mas. Dancing with the Lights Out, Seattle Bandstand. Head Games, It All Comes Back to You. No Fate Awaits Me, Race to Erase. Copyright 2014, The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, LLC, All Rights Reserved. Country of First Publication, United States of America. Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, LLC, is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, her.